Ah, oui.
Did anybody else want to testify on the Board of Nursing besides Ginger? Did you want to?
Senator, I'm here to speak on behalf of Representative Ahmed's calling for.
Okay.
If you want to move it along, I mean, I don't have any future problems.
For the record, my name is Ginger Bayman. I'm aide to Representative Dave Donnelly. Representative Donnelly introduced House Bill 178 on request of the Board of Nursing in response to a legislative budget audit that was performed pursuant to sunset requirements. The audits found no problems and didn't make any statutory recommendations and recommended that the board be extended for another 4 years. The original version of the bill did just that, extended the board for 4 years. When the bill came to the House Labor and Commerce Committee, the Board of Nursing submitted a list of amendments that they would like incorporated in the measure that accomplished four items. Primarily, there's a memorandum in your committee packet that explains these, correct statutorily inconsistent language, such as where it required licensure when we actually provide permits, expanded the disciplinary powers of the board. This expansion of disciplinary powers is consistent with an omnibus licensing bill that was adopted and is moving through the House Bill 222, which expands across the board the powers of boards and commissions to discipline their own members. It clarifies that licensing and examination procedures, cleans up technical and procedural problems such as the use of specific nursing titles for specific jobs. In each of those changes that were incorporated in the House Labor and Commerce Committee bill came on a request from the board, and one was incorporated from the Division of Occupational Licensing. House Bill 178 was amended on the floor of the House to correct a technical problem. We made reference to accepting licensure from Canadian provinces and forgot to include Canadian territories. The bill came to the floor of the House the same day the Northwest Territory delegation was here visiting us, and they pointed out that the error in the bill. The bill is now before you. I'd be happy to answer any questions that committee members may have.
Any questions from the committee?
I have questions of the division and of any member of the board if there's someone there. Other than that, I don't know.
Is there somebody here from the division or the board?
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Jennifer Stricker. I'm the Management Analyst from the Department of Commerce, Division of Occupational Licensing. The department supports continuation of the Board of Nursing, and we feel that the board is necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. The amendments found in Committee Substitute House Bill 178 was by request of the board. The disciplinary sanctions section in the bill, as Ginger explained, is also part of House Bill 222 moving through the House in order to standardize the disciplinary sanctions of all licensing boards.
Yeah, I have a question. What effect would just elimination of the Board of Nursing have on the licensing fees of nurses?
Through the chair, I'm Senator Farron Kemp. Elimination of the Board of Nursing, what that would do basically is eliminate the travel and per diem cost that comes to mind right offhand. I have Kevin Henderson here with me, who's a regulation specialist and worked very closely on the nursing fees project.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I have a series of questions, and I appreciate it if you'd come up with. I have a great bit of correspondence and telephone number and calls and stuff that before I vote to continue this, I'd like to find out why the fees are set like they're set, why the budget looks like it looks, with your permission.
Could you come up, please?
Mr. Chairman, if you like, I just ask the questions that are concerned to me and just get an answer if that would be your question.
Okay, for the record, I'm Kevin Henderson, the regulation specialist with the Division of Occupational Licensing.
Well, for the record, I'd like to know, before we continue with this piece of legislation, I'm well aware of the effort that's being made to see that each board, covers its own cost. But I have some major questions with the way the budget for this board has been drawn up, and until those Well, budget questions are satisfied with me. I'm very hesitant to continue. Do you feel that fees from the Board of Nursing should cover smaller ones, or from boards should cover smaller ones that can't take care of themselves? Is that part of the philosophy?
Through the chair to Senator Fahrenkamp. I think ideally, all boards, large or small, could and should perhaps pay for themselves. That's not very realistic or possible with many boards, especially those that have a small number of licensees. Boards that come to mind in that regard are the psychology board, Board of Marine Pilots. Board of Marine Pilots, for example, has only 80, roughly, number of licensees, and it's awful difficult for them to really spread the cost of operating that board among the so few people. The Board of Nursing has one of the largest basis of the number of licensees, and so it is more possible to come up with a reasonable and realistic fee compared with other fees in the state.
Okay. Why did the budget the decision that was made to raise the nurse's license fee, why did that include, I've got three things I'd like to know why is in there. Why did it include a position that's not been funded for over a year? And why did not reflect the governor's proposed 10% pay cut that all rest of them reflect? And why was it not reduced to show the lower number of licensees? You've got 25%, as I understand it, fewer licensees. And yet that's not either reflected in the budget. This budget that you have, in my estimation, is not, it does not correspond with any other budget procedure that we're taking this year. Can you explain that to me?
Can you address the position?
The position was PCF number 2031, $25,775 annual fee.
Oh, through the chair, Senator Fahrenkamp. That clerk position was funded this fiscal year. For fiscal year 88, that position was transferred to the investigative component of the division. Hence, in that component, the position was zeroed. I, without doing some research on it, I really can't respond to your question now why that was figured into the nursing fees or if it even was at the base.
Break in for a minute. Is the licensing fee determined by regulation?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it will be if we get concurrence of the board. The Board of Nursing is meeting next week, May 7th and 8th, to reconsider the fee structure that was proposed.
What is the fee structure right now?
Currently, they have a biennial licensing fee, renewal fee of $65.
Every 2 years. What's the proposed fee?
The proposed fee would increase that to $120 every 2 years. So it is a significant increase,
okay,
certainly.
Okay.
Well, what effects were made then? What efforts were made by those who were proposing these regulations to get input from the nurses as you were drawing up this fee schedule?
Well, as things, first of all, the department does have a mandate to, first of all, establish the fees based on a cost, and understandably there's debate about what the final cost should be. But our normal procedure, like with any regulations, is to public notice the regulation. We have an interested person list that we send it out to that includes, in the case of the nursing board, includes all hospital administrators, nursing supervisors throughout the state. And we provide a period of public comment, which you're aware we're in right now, and we're obviously getting a lot of comment about this.
You bet I am.
Fee increase, right.
And I've reviewed your budget, and I must admit that I'm amazed by it, and that's why I was asking these questions. Mr. Chairman, if you like, I'll give these chairmen these questions to them and try to get the answer response in writing before this.
Okay, did you want to hold the bill then?
I can take it to move. It's up to the chair. It's just I have other questions too from the Board of Nursing that I'd like to have if there's anybody here.
there anybody here from the Board of Nursing?
Then I'll just submit these questions to them and see if I can't get a response.
Were you considering putting the licensing fee into the statute?
No, I was considering that if we have exorbitant fees, and if we have a budget that, in my opinion, does not reflect the actual cost of that board, then I'd like to know why, and before we move on any action as a body, see if we can't get it straightened out.
Well, let's hold the bill then until Wednesday, and we should have the information you need back by then.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Pursuing that question, though, Mr. Chairman. Pursuing that question, Mr. Chairman, let me ask: would there be a way that we could structure a fee in the legislation? In other words, establishing the basis by which a fee would be set. In other words, we did that, I think, in a comprehensive bill last year. We didn't include the nursing board. But we had such language that basically said you would establish the fee based on actual cost for the period in which it's operated, and so forth and so on. Okay. But you guys have any feel one way or the other on that, top of your head?
Through the chair, Senator Zemanski, in the fee bill, which is House Bill 78 that passed in fiscal year 85, it mandates that we set licensing fees to cover the actual cost of the board. If you want to put something in the bill that would make it more specific, the guidelines that we need to follow, that would sure help us a whole lot.
How many nurses are there now?
There are approximately, there's a little over 5,000, I believe.
And what's the amount for the budget component for that board?
I have those figures with me.
That's $600,000 in licensing fees.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's my opinion that I'm not trying to give the department a hard time, other than I don't blame them for trying to get things they feel they need and to approve services and this kind of thing. But this is not a group in which we are improving services anywhere, and I don't know why one group is being asked to do that when others aren't.
Mr. Chairman, for fiscal year 88, the projected budget for the Board of Nursing is at $365,093.
And that's about $300,000 a year if you split the biennium. Under the new $120, that would be $300,000 a year. And you're saying it's $365,000 to run the
Yes.
operation.
There, I might point out, Mr. Chairman, there are other fees that are collected besides this biennial fee. There's the application and exam fees and so forth.
Obviously all the questioning by the committee today centered around what appears to be an exorbitant fee, one that's not justified under the previous act that we passed. Give me your candid response. Are you guys gouging?
No, Senator Zemanski, if I could address that. No, we're not. In fact, I really don't believe that the cost that we've established of the board is out of line at all. It is true that the 10% cut is not in there. We have, in the last couple of weeks, gone back and are looking at that. What we're attempting to do is cover the entire cost of the Division of Occupational Licensing. We believe that was the intent of several finance committees over the last year. I think the main amount of the budget that's in question is the amount of administrative costs that aren't specifically line itemized to the nursing board. For example, a portion of the director's salary and my salary and of the clerks and Jenny's salary and so forth, we've got to come up with a way to spread that out among all occupations. And the way we've done that is to try to, by taking a percentage of the licensees that the nursing board hold over the total, where we'll take that percent of this administrative cost that we can't directly appoint to the board. That appears to be the large amount that seems to be in question. So what we're trying to do, though, is maintain or fund the maintenance of the board at the existing level that it is already.
Well, but Senator Kelly's arithmetic can't be too far off. You're exceeding it by several hundred thousand dollars.
Well, but Mike, you have to split the $600,000 in half because that's a biennial figure.
Biennial figure, okay.
Why don't you, on next Wednesday, why don't you bring that information to us?
anticipated fees under the current schedule and the new proposed regs and break out the cost of the proposed course.
Okay.
Move on.
Sure. Well, why don't you wait till Wednesday? She won't be here Wednesday. Go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Kelly and members of the committee. My name is Barbara Walker. I appreciate your indulgence today. I'm representing my husband, David Walker, who's currently the lobbyist of the Nurses Association. Prior to his being the lobbyist, I was the lobbyist for about 8 years. There was a letter which Mr. Walker had delivered to the committee members, and I don't know whether you've gotten it
or
not.
Yes, we do have it.
I think that one of the things that does concern me and would concern the Nurses Association would be the policy of the state, if it's not a well thought out policy, that the small regulatory boards should be responsible for paying their own way. I think that it is important for the legislature to consider whether or not, if it's in the public interest, that certain occupations be licensed, that then what responsibility is there on the state to see that those boards are adequately funded to do a good job. Otherwise, the purpose of licensure is defeated. There are a few unique things, I think, about the Board of Nursing as opposed to other licensing boards, which you may not be aware of. One, it's about the only board, I think, that has the responsibility to accredit nursing education programs. And so there has to be members of the board who are familiar with educational programs and what has to be done. Most boards do not get into the area of education. Nursing and nursing boards have been unique across the country, and at one time they were the only group of boards in every state that provided for nurses to move freely from state to state because they all adopt uniform licensing requirements. And therefore, there's no problem for a nurse from Alaska to go to Virginia, to Minnesota, and be licensed because of that. And that in itself takes, I think, additional money for the boards to maintain their standards to allow that flow of nurses in and out of the state. Some of the nurses who hold licenses and who do pay fees do not live in Alaska. And I think the board might be able to provide you with that information. Alaska no longer has an inactive license as it did at one time. So if you're going to keep your license to practice, you have to maintain an active license. So there are nurses who move in and out of the state with their husband's employment or just periodically who do maintain a license who are not here.
Mr. Chair, maybe we're looking at different bills, but in my review of the bill, the boards here will not accredit, but they will approve educational programs. Am I wrong? Isn't that what this bill said?
That's correct. That perhaps was the wrong terminology. They have to approve the School of Nursing before it can function in the state. In some states, they do serve as the accrediting agency for the School of Nursing, in addition to higher educational bodies, which might also accredit.
Well, I want you to understand and everybody else to understand that I'm not against the Board of Nursing, but I do want to know what in the world's going on, that it's that this budget does not reflect any of a number of three or four things that I think affect it. And we have a number of people in this state. I don't know about your mail, Mr. Chairman, but my mail has been very heavy. And I want to make sure that as we are accrediting a continuing board, that if we are having the board continue, again, I'm not against that, but that the regulations that are governing them, they had a voice in them, and they have a way to object when it gets to where they feel it's not, the budget's not appropriate.
Okay, any other questions? I will bring this bill up again.
Thank you so much.
Senate Bill 224 by Farenkamp, and that relates to access to employment security records.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Recently I became aware of a problem that a union's having with their pension benefit plan in cases where retired members are collecting their retirement benefits and they're actually out working, not retired at all, but working in the same line of work, and those people who are paying the benefits have no way to see where they're working or if they're working. Under this bill, the administrator would be able to request from the Employment Security Division the name and address of a person, if available, and the occupation of that employee. Now, in recognition of the sensitive nature of such information, the administration would have to keep the information confidential unless it's a party to a legal proceeding. In the past, it's been my understanding that the operators local in Fairbanks requested information from the U.S. Department of Labor and was refused. The Employment and Training Administration and U.S. Labor Department has advised the Alaska Department of Labor that they believe that this bill is inconsistent or it does not appear to be consistent with federal requirements. Now, Mr. Chairman, I've heard this many times as I've tried to work on things with federal boards, and in that line, I'd like to propose an amendment. I think we have testimony today that will say that in case this is ruled to be not in compliance with the federal bill, and I'm sure the Labor Department can help us with that, I'll be happy to welcome an amendment of that type. But with that, I just think I'll just...
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jim Sampson, Commissioner of Labor. I think it's important for the committee to know that there is a conformity problem with the legislation raised by the United States Department of Labor. They have said that a conformity problem may exist which is inconsistent with federal law, which does state that this information be confidential. If, in fact, there's a conformity issue ruled upon by the United States Department of Labor, the Secretary of Labor, they could withhold all federal funds from the Alaska Department of Labor. So it's a serious problem as it relates to whether or not we are in conformity or we are not. As it relates to the amendment proposed by Senator Fehrenkamp, I would support that, and I want to tell you my personal view. The issue of conformity does concern me. However, the issue that this bill addresses, I believe, is an issue that needs to be addressed. It's not a union issue. It's an employer. It's a Taft-Hartley trust issue is what it is. It's my belief that both employers and labor organizations that have Taft-Hartley plans in Alaska would support this amendment. The other, I don't know, I have a Senate Bill 274 dated 4/23. Is that the latest one?
Yes, I have other. Mr. Chairman, I have another set of amendments to propose that came from the way it's worded. They're technical amendments that we haven't passed yet.
Commissioner, do you support the bill if amended?
I would support the bill only if... I would support the bill with the amendment notwithstanding a conformity problem with the U.S. Department of Labor. If there's a conformity problem with it, I would definitely not support the legislation. But and I would also support the amendment, the additional amendments as I see them in front of me, narrowing down the scope of it to a joint administered defined benefit plan.
Okay, did anybody else want to testify on 274? All right, why don't you hold out for a second? Let's adopt the amendment so we all know what we're planning on.
All right.
Can we adopt the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would move and ask unanimous consent that on page 2, line 2, we delete employee and insert administrator of a joint administrative defined. On line 2, page 2, line 4, delete plan and insert administrator. Page 2, line 7, delete plan and insert administrator. Page 2, line 9, delete plan and insert administrator. Page 2, line 10, same thing. Page 2, line 11, after which, insert the administrator or.
Any objections to adoption of amendments?
Let me ask the maker. Or Senator Fernkamp, could you help me? What's the net effect of what we're doing here?
It's to define just what the commissioner mentioned just now. Would you explain that, please, Mr.
Mr. Chairman? Senator Szymanski, basically what it does is that currently under ERISA, TEF-Hartley employer defined benefit plans provide for a suspension of benefits rule for those that are retired in those defined benefit plans. And basically what ERISA says in the suspension of benefit rules in that section is that a plan will withhold the retirement of those participants in the plan if those retirees work in the industry, in the geographical area of the plan, for more than 39 hours a month. And what this amendment does is it allows an administrator of a jointly administered defined benefit plan, which means a plan with an equal number of employers and an equal number of employee representatives. It will allow the administrator to request from the Department of Labor the name and addresses and occupation of individuals which they feel are working in the industry, in the geographical area of the plan, for more than 39 hours a week. And they, upon receipt of that, will withhold benefits until that person is not working in the industry. The other thing is that they will keep that information confidential. It's the same, an analogy might be, Senator, is that, as I understand it, the state of Alaska has a defined benefit plan whereby when state workers retire, they're prohibited from going back to an employer that contributes into PERS and still receive the retirement. And this would allow those private employer plans to do the same. It will just allow them to keep track of their retirees a little better.
Okay. No objection.
Mr. Chairman, I have just a couple questions here. Number one, the reason for this is that what is it going to allow us to do? That I'm still unclear on what is the real advantage of it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ewing, if we receive at this time the Employment Security Division receives a request from an administrator of a TEF-Hartley plan saying, I would like to have this information, we will say no. And this will allow us to provide the administrator of TEF-Hartley plans that information as long as they agree that it will be kept confidential, except for a use of that in a legal proceeding.
Okay. What's the purpose for getting the information? What's the end result of it? That's what I'm trying to get.
Mr. Chairman, the result of a joint administered defined TEF-Hartley benefit plan would be that they will have better information made available to them, which will allow them to rule on whether their retirees are working in the industry or not. As it stands now, a retiree working in any of those defined benefit plans can go to work anywhere in the country other than where that plan has coverage and still receive a benefit. The suspension of benefit rules under ERISA say that if the retiree works in the same industry, and it has to be in the same industry, in the geographical area of which the plan has coverage for more than 39 hours, they can and will withhold that month's retirement check because that person is not retired; he's working.
Okay, but okay. What you're saying then is, the guy retires. In Fairbanks, as an example, he's under the plan, and the people, the joint administrators of the plan, have no idea whether or not he is or is not participating. The only folks that really know is you guys down who get paid the ES, or you get the information if he is. But if he's not working under the plan in any way, shape, or form, and he's under some separate plan, and he's building up time in a separate plan, that still doesn't pertain, right? I mean, that doesn't preclude him from dipping into his benefits. Or is that the whole issue? You want to preclude him from dipping into the benefits while he's accruing into another separate plan.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that's the issue. It's not what we want to do. I think what the employee TEF-Hartley trustees want to do. What the law says under ERISA is that an example would be in the construction industry. If there is a electrician that retires from an IBEW NECA, a defined benefit plan,
right,
that person receives his retirement at that age. If that individual who retired as an electrician under that Taft-Hartley plan goes to work for goes to work for the state or any other construction plan. He can do whatever he wants to do as long as he does not work in the industry as an electrician in Alaska.
If why he can't does he work as an electrician?
Because under ERISA, the plan trustees will withhold, can withhold their benefits.
Wait, could he work as an electrician for the state of Alaska, which has got a totally different pension plan?
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, under ERISA, on the suspension of benefit rules, if the individual, in this case an electrician, works as an electrician in the area where the plan covers, the trustees will withhold his pension for the time he's working. That's with or without this amendment. This amendment has nothing to do with that.
Well, but what it does, though, is it allows those pension plan trustees to police it better than they currently have, because they got no access to records to determine whether or not this guy's working for the state of Alaska or anybody else.
That's correct.
What you're doing is opening up the records to them, and it's a policy call, because I'm not too sure I necessarily agree with the original assumption that they should be precluded. Because the federalities say that should be precluded from having that information or being given that compensation underneath the plan. That's not necessarily mean the state should make it any easier for them to police them. I don't know what the damage is. Do you see what is the real damage if they're allowed to work for the state, or you know, if secretly work for the state and the other fund doesn't know?
Mr. Chairman, I guess it's a policy call, and when you use an example of a retiree in the example of an electrician working for the state, I guess that's a situation that may arise. But what the concern is, I believe, of the trustees that hold that sit on boards of trustees in the state is that most of these defined benefit plans are construction plans in the industry. And what I think the feeling is that we have a board of trustees, let's say, of any plan, which the employers have contributed on the individual's behalf for at least 10 years or longer, and that person has accrued a benefit. And it's my belief that what happens is that after the employers that have contributed the benefits as a part of the plan do that, and the person retires, then that person goes out and competes in the industry against those employers that's contributed for that many years.
Senator, do you want to adopt this other amendment?
Yes, please. Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that we add a new section to page 2, line 14, as written for you. Does not withstanding AS 23.20.108, enacted for Section 2 of this Act, the Department may not release information to an administrator of the U.S. Secretary of Labor if the U.S. Secretary of Labor rules that release of the information would be grounds to find that the state is in substantial noncompliance with 42 U.S.C. 502A.
Okay, any objections? All right. I would ask staff to work these two amendments into a committee substitute. And is there a motion for adoption of the committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt the committee substitute as to unanimous consent.
That's done, and what are we going to do about the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we move the bill out with individual recommendations as to unanimous consent.
No objections? So done. Are you on the line?
Yes, Fairbanks is here.
Fairbanks, I hope you are in support of the bill that we just moved out of committee. My apologies for forgetting you were there.
That's fine. No problem. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, Senate Bill 164, overtime for hospital employees. We've heard this before. Do we have people in Anchorage? Is that the thing?
Yeah, right.
Okay, Anchorage, Edward Williamson.
My name is Ed Williamson, and I'm an employee of Humana Hospital here in Anchorage as a maintenance mechanic, and I'm here to speak in favor of Bill 164.
Okay, go ahead.
The way I understand, I'm for Bill 164 because by having weekends periodically, this gives me more flexibility on choosing my days off, such as taking a four-day weekend after working 10 straight days, as opposed to a three-day weekend and a two-day weekend and days off in the middle of the week.
Okay, thank you. Jane Cornell?
My name is Jane Burnell. I work at Humana Hospital in Anchorage here, and I work in housekeeping. And I'm for the Senate Bill 164.
Okay, thank you. Linda Russell?
Paying these people by the hour.
Hi, my name is Linda Russell, and I work for Humana Hospital in Anchorage, and I'm for Senate Bill number 164.
Okay, thank you very much, Anchorage. Is there anybody here that wanted to testify? Well, we've had nobody say they didn't like the bill. We've had several employees say they want the flexibility. So I would suggest we move the bill out of committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent. We pass out Senate Bill 164 with individual recommendations.
One more. I'll check for a consultation with my colleague.
Waiting, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Are there objections to moving the bill out of committee? So done. Any other business coming before the committee? All right, I'm going to promise to be adjourned. Thanks, Anchorage.
They've worked there.
What are you writing a letter to this, Mike?
No.
What are you doing? Do you not pass them?
Betty and I are just wondering whether or not we ought to slow this one down a little. I was a consultant over here with my labor rep. I know.
The Department of Labor comes in and says it's against the workers, but the workers want it. And we all know how that works, too. But
yeah, like the guy sat there and says, I just told you up here today to tell you that it's my best interest.
But who's complaining? Nobody's complaining.
Yeah, but they didn't know what they were.
Hey, what about...